switch.
Where are they going?
Goodbye.
And what's coming back?
I'd package up all seven Ruckman and ship them off.
Tradies, it's time to cut the cord with the new 18-volt bi-turbo brushless range from Bosch. And up to 2,000 watts of corded equivalent power. This is Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast. With Daisy Thomas and Fox Sports News' Sarah Olley.
Yes, so this is Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast, thanks to Bosch Power Tools with Dale Thomas and Sarah Olley. Daisy, lovely to see you this evening. Let's get to Jordan Dawson. Let's go there first, because this is the trade that's been arming and ahhing for, what, 10, 14 days. It did get done today, so he's going off to Adelaide on a five-year deal estimated to be worth $650,000 per season. That's okay. And the Swans, in response, are getting a future first-rounder. That is a pick tied to Melbourne. Are you happy to see it happen, Daisy? Because there was a threat of walking through to the preseason draft, and that would have just been a little bit ugly.
Well, when you break down what actually happened here, it's amazing that it took so long for this to get done when the Swans have got a 2022 first-round pick that is linked with Melbourne, so you'd assume that's pretty late into the first round there. And they've come out, they played hardball, they obviously wanted more, and the Crows were pretty strong. So I think in that deal, the Crows have certainly come out on top. He wanted to go home, of course, so well done to everyone for getting it done, but as an excited day, we were all waiting and excited for what today would bring. Sarah, it was a pretty boring end to the day.
I mean, it threatened to give so much, and in the end it gave so little. But just on Jordan Dawson, so Charlie Gardner, the GM of footy at Sydney, he said after the trade was done, ultimately, we have settled on a deal that we don't think quite reflects Jordan's true value, but is one that after extensive negotiations, we don't believe we could improve upon. So the Swans, a little bit salty, Daisy, but in the end, the Crows did initially offer pick 17. The Swans rejected it, and now they've got a future first rounder linked to Melbourne. So it probably is going to be something like pick 17 or worse.
Somewhere around then, and interesting to note that the Swans came out and declared that he was arguably the best talent in their opinion in this trade period. So for
Correct.
Them to have almost missed out on a selection this season, they've lost a player and they don't have an early first round pick this season as well. So look, no doubt they are almost agreeing with me that the Crows won that deal.
And he'll be a great acquisition for the Crows indeed. Well, that's what the Swans lost, but they did gain something this evening, Daisy, and that's Pete Laddams, a big ruckman from Port Adelaide. He's only 23 years old, and the Swans got Laddam and pick 16, and the Port Power get the Swans pick 12 and a future third rounder. I think in the end, this is probably a pretty good deal for the Swans because he is a young ruckman. We know they've got Tom Hickey, who exploded onto the scene after last trade period, but he's only 23 years old. So do you see him fitting into the Swans mix quite well?
Yeah, I do. I think he's got the potential to play forward as well. He spent a fair bit of time in that Port Adelaide forward line, obviously with Lysette doing a large chunk of the rucking over there. So if you look at the tools now Sydney have got, you've got Buddy, and obviously he's going to be managed at times. So obviously Laddams is a nice fit to have coming in to replace him. They've got Sam Reed, Logan McDonald, Sinclair Hickey as well. They've got some serious depth in the ruck department, which a lot of clubs haven't had or had the luxury to have. So it's an interesting one. Peter Laddams plus pick 16 is pretty good. And Port Adelaide, I'm sure they're not too disappointed in getting pick 12 back themselves. Obviously, they were the ones who told Peter Laddams to explore
exactly.
his options. So
shopping him around, yes.
Yeah, shopping him around. So getting pick 12 and a future third rounder, I'm sure they'd be somewhat happy with that, considering they initiated that trade.
You're listening to Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast, thanks to Bosch Power and Tools. Now, Jordan Clark, he has got to Freo in the end, Daisy, but a few salacious little rumours and whispers going around today that he may have hung up on Stephen Wells, which, you know, I was abhorred to hear. Stephen Wells, he's like the doyen of the trade period. You do not hang up on Stephen Wells, Daisy, but apparently that could have happened. But Jordan Clark, he has got back to WA. He has got to Fremantle. I mean, how did you see this trade playing out?
Yeah, it's a bold move hanging up on people. I remember when Stephen Silvani came around to sack me and I refused to open the door for 5 minutes just to see if he'd turn around and change his mind. Didn't happen. Look, Jordan Clark, he was pick 15 back in 2018 draft. He's only played the 32 matches in the 3 years, four of those this season as the medical sub. So no doubt he wants some the opportunity to play some more consistent senior footy. We know the Geelong model where you've really got to earn your stripes in and out of the team. He's got some serious speed. We know that. We know how good he is when he can get it on his terms. You know, he was keen to get there. I'm happy to see him get there. The Cats with now we pick 22 and a future third rounder. Again, I don't think they'd be too disappointed with that considering this is a bloke who's been in and out of the side.
So Fremantle give up pick 22 and a future third rounder. And in exchange, they get Clark and a future fourth rounder. But Freo keep picks 6, 8 and 19. They've got a pretty nice draft hand, don't they?
Yeah, it's very, very well played to them too for not giving up anything they didn't really want to in return. So that looks very, very strong now too. Hopefully they can get some more talent in. They've got options now. Where do they go? Do they can just take time to pick out the players specific to roles they need filled.
So they're the deals that did get done, but what about one that didn't get done in Bobby Hill? Now, this was one that kind of just came upon us over the weekend. He told the Giants with 1 year to run on his contract, I want to go to Victoria, but not just I want to go to Victoria, make me a bomber. And I mean, that doesn't go down so well with everyone because he said, on family reasons, I want to move to Victoria. But there are 10 clubs down here, Daisy, and in the end, a deal couldn't get brokered. Apparently, he's been in tears. The Giants are going to have to welcome him back. I mean, it's always a little bit awkward, isn't it, when you've got to crawl back with your tail between your legs after asking to get traded. I mean, do you think the Giants just did the best thing by them because Bobby Hill had 1 year to run on his contract and they aren't possessed with that many small forwards, particularly when you think that Toby Green is going to miss the first quarter of next year?
Yeah, they're well within their rights to sort of flex their muscles a little bit and say no to this one. Obviously, Bobby Hill and the reasons he stated. It's interesting now to see how he then responds going back to the GWS Giants because at times we see when players do have these off-field distractions, his partner being pregnant, obviously flagging that he wanted to move and leave GWS, just how that then affects the on-field performance. Obviously, the GWS list manager, Jason McCartney, said that the Giants would welcome him back with open arms. But they're believed to have had to send Stephen Canelio and Matt DeBoer to catch up with him in Perth just to smooth things over because, as you said, the reports say that he was shattered, in tears, distraught, really flat that this didn't get through. So, again, a young man, a young player trying to find his way in the AFL system, just these hiccups along the way just take a little bit to smooth over. So the Giants have got a job ahead of them now to get Bobby back on side and getting the best out of him.
So the Bombers offered a future second rounder. That wasn't enough to appease the Giants. And Collingwood actually showed quite a bit of interest in Bobby Hill. They offered pick 27 and a third round pick, but the deal didn't get done. It does beg me to ask a question, Daisy. Do contractor players, and particularly, you know, young contractor players, do they think they wield too much power when it comes to the trade period?
Well, I think we're starting to learn that the clubs now realise that they also have a fair bit of power in this situation they can say flat no. And every now and then you have to do that because you set a precedence for yourself. If you just let everyone go willy-nilly, then if something's not going right for a player or there's opportunities elsewhere, they can just pack up and leave. So the contracts really don't mean as much as they probably should. So there's no doubt that Bobby thought this would get across the line. That's why he would have flagged it and raised it. However, you know, I think in this one, probably well done to the Giants for making a bit of a stand.
And they've got to invite him back into the club with open arms. So we've been talking about the ruck stocks throughout this trade period. So Darcy Fort has gone to the Lions, John Segler has gone to Geelong, and Max Lynch has gone to Hawthorn. So a bit of a merry-go-round there. But speaking of Hawthorn, Daisy, can we just touch on this trade period and where are they at? Because we know they were shopping around some big names, Jager Amira, Chad Wingard, Jack Gunston, Tom Mitchell. There were a few nibbles, but no one bit, no one caught the bait. I mean, where are Hawthorn at under Sam Mitchell? Because is it awkward to have to go back to a preseason under a new coach when you know he's been shopping you around?
No doubt there'll be conversations being had at this very moment, Says, about that particular thing when I'd imagine Sam Mitchell would be a pretty busy boy tonight on the phones to the likes of Luke Bruce, who got shopped around late, Jager O'Meara as well, Tom Mitchell, Chad Wingard as well. Like, these are the foundation of your footy club. When you think of the Hawthorn Footy Club, they're in your top handful of players. to have them shop the rounds so aggressively, I think you could probably say. No doubt, but, you know, we're all, and especially sports people, we've got egos, we've got pride, we think we deserve loyalty. So it does take a dent when you get told these things are happening and this might be a potential move. You give your heart and soul to a place. So, yeah, it's the handover. There's no doubt that that was a little bit shaky with the Alistair Clarkson thing, and I think now Melbourne had an earthquake only weeks ago. There might be another one just rumbling away down there at Waverley Park.
Well, I wouldn't have minded that earthquake to just, you know, linger a little bit longer into the trade period, because it has been quiet, hasn't it, Dace?
Might have livened things up a little bit. A few more players might have fallen off the shelf.
But in the end, not too many moves, but that's all we've got time for. This is Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast, thanks to Bosch Power and Tools.
Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast.
They're both heading in different directions.
Tradies, it's time to cut the cord with the new 18-volt bi-turbo brushless range from Bosch.
Backed by an industry-leading 6-year warranty guarantee.
To keep up with all the AFL trade news, follow Triple M Footy on Facebook and Instagram.